three grown men who care way more than they should. Glenn Clark.
What, like you've never jacked off to a picture of Kurt Angle before?
AJ Francis.
And of course, everyone boos Roman Reigns even though he puts on the best match of the night.
Aaron Oster.
Guys, look, there's that one time... You know,
Aaron. You're the worst.
You are the worst. This is Jobbing Out.
Welcome in. It is episode number 116 of Jobbing Out. Does anybody else's headphones sound super weird? Mine sound terrible.
No. Super loud.
Yeah. Well, the loud part, I'm used to that. It's weird.
You can turn it down right there.
You got a volume right there. All right. It is Jobbing Out. Glenn Clark, Aaron Oster from the Baltimore Sun and Rolling Stone, and of course...
The main event. Vent.
AJ Francis of the Washington Redskins. I never know when it is that you are prepared to cut off. All right, so it is episode number 116. It is our Extreme Rules preview edition of the program. We will be making
Aaron, hold on. How do I sound? Do I sound good?
You sound great.
You sound good now.
Okay, cool.
I don't hear myself at all.
You're cool. You're just loud as fuck.
I just turned you down. So.
But I like literally do not hear myself in my... It's the strangest thing. I don't know what... I don't hear myself. But here, talk.
I hear you.
I hear you amazingly.
I barely hear myself.
The damnedest thing. Hey, Aaron, who do you hear?
I hear everybody.
Well,
I hear voices in my head.
Right?
Of course, Aaron has the best fucking headphones on the crew.
Right. There's no doubt about that. All right, so we will make our picks here in a second. Then later on in the program, we're going to be joined by Ian. Is it Riccaboni? Let me make sure I get that
Riccaboni.
Right. Riccaboni. Ian Riccaboni, who is the new lead announcer for Ring of Honor Wrestling. He will join us. He's 30 years old, and he has a great job, so I hate him.
Pretty much.
We'll talk about that with him a little bit later on in the show. In our first segment, however, I want to... This is a teaching moment for a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, hey, I'd love to sit in with you guys sometime. I'd love to be on the show. I'd love to... Our buddy Dale, Mr. Fat Crab Cakes on Twitter, says, hey, I'd love to sit in on the show. We're happy to have you. There's just one thing.
You have to give us something.
You gotta give us something.
Absolutely.
And we have Santa Claus right here in
the
studio.
Hanukkah Harry is
one of them. Hanukkah Harry.
Unlike Aaron, who recently discovered he was Jewish, Ben's always been Jewish.
There we go.
Aaron just magically decided Jewish a couple months ago. He just walks in, he's like, well, dude, I can't do it because I'm Jewish. I'm like, shut up, what the hell are you talking about? You've never been Jewish.
There's not even going to be matzah at your wedding. You're not Jewish.
That's right. Hey, welcome to the family, man.
Ben Nash is the... Let me make sure I have the title correct, first of all. You are equipment director, equipment manager for the University of Maryland basketball team. He's a good man, and he sent us the greatest care package in the history of care packages. I don't care what it is, whatever service you signed up for, like, I don't know if you get the, like, dog loot or whatever the hell, those crates. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know whichever one you get. It's not as good as the crate that we got from Ben Nash.
That is correct.
Of Maryland gear, Under Armour stuff. Yeah. You're an American hero.
That's right.
Let's start with that. Right. You're an American hero.
I'm not Jack Swagger like last week, right?
No.
Well, he's a real American. He's not necessarily an American hero.
Yeah, or the all-American American, whichever it is. But you are a great American hero, sir, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. So I was wearing the shorts that you sent last week, right? Yeah. And this has nothing to do with you or the shorts. They're amazing.
Okay.
I went out on a boat on Friday. And, like, I walked, it was cold, it was kind of windy. I'm like, you know what, man, we're not getting in the water today, we're just going out of the boat. I'll just wear the athletic shorts that was sent over.
Yeah.
Then all my a-hole drunk friends said, hey, why don't we go tubing? I'm like, it's like 60 degrees, I don't really want to, but of course, you know, I have a couple beers all of a sudden. Hey, look, we're going tubing! So I'm out there, I'm riding the tube, right? I'm basically getting Bronco busted in the face every time the tube hits me. And I let go, and all of a sudden, I realize... I don't have any shorts on. They are gone. Now, amazingly, with like a toe, I saved them as they were about to float by. Like, it was the most magical moment ever. Yeah. Where I, like, realize I'm not wearing I yell out, I'm like, I lost my pants! Because I'm about to realize I'm about to climb back out on this boat with my dick hanging out, you know? Like, it's gonna suck.
Who hasn't been there?
Well, it's yeah, everybody's it's been natural, there. Right? But amazingly, with one toe, I managed to save the shorts. I do not blame you, I do not blame Under Armour, I do not blame anyone but my asshole self and my asshole friends.
I would definitely not take the blame on that one.
Well, it's good to have you here, man. Yeah, you're a pro wrestling guy.
Oh, absolutely. Born and raised.
All right. Yeah. So, AJ definitely couldn't be a pro wrestler, right? Like, there's no
way.
No shot.
No.
He sucks. No God, he sucks.
You guys smell it? I smell hate. I smell hate.
It is my boy. We've
what?
Each other for a while now.
Why? Stop, you don't have to kiss his ass.
So
you understand that?
Everybody... So it's funny. I was born and raised a Maryland fan, so I watched AJ before I was even working at Maryland.
Oh God, damn it! So I was sick of this shit. Why don't we ever bring anybody to tell the truth?
Here's
that AJ
the thing. So what happens is you've listened to the show, Ben.
Yeah.
Everyone who I know that comes on this show.
I try my ass off to get them to disparage AJ.
They go out of their way to find a way to make me seem like an asshole. They want everybody I have on the show to say that I'm an asshole. But what actually ends up happening is I'm a great fucking guy.
Oh my God, it drives me nuts.
I'm the ultimate baby face.
I don't know how much you're paying
people.
I don't know how much you're paying people to suggest.
And it's amazing how you constantly call people idiots. You're all our listeners, they suck, they're wrong. Yet people aren't saying anything bad about
you. They spend more time with you.
Because I am amazing.
I don't know about any of that. I don't know about any of that.
I told you I'm a white meat baby face. I told you that. Just not on this show.
Yeah, no, you're a dick. That's what you are.
Well, he's Roman Reigns. He calls people idiots, he acts cocky, and yet we're expected to cheer him anyways.
And people do. Has anyone booed me yet?
You know what? I think I've had Torrey Smith on 70 different shows that I've done, and every time I'm like, dude, just something. Give me something. And Torrey's just like, no, he's a really good guy. I'm like, God damn it!
You know why, though?
Why?
Because
your day rocks.
Well, that is also true. But also because, you know, I got Tori's back, he got mine. I will never disparage him, he will never disparage me. That's how we roll.
Mojo, of course, is a Maryland guy.
Yep.
Right? Like we all know that. Yeah. Who else that's come through? Who's another Maryland guy that you think could work as a pro wrestler?
Me?
Yeah. Maryland guy? Who's somebody that you...
You know who's big as hell, who's actually on the staff right now, is Tyler Bowen.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Huge, former offensive lineman, came back. Yeah. He's now O-line coach, right?
O-line coach.
Yeah.
I think Vernon Davis, obviously. You know.
It's funny you mentioned Vernon Davis.
He's a movie star.
It's funny you mentioned Vernon Davis. Yeah. Just shows you how much respect I have for you. Yeah. I was at dinner with Vernon yesterday, and I told him about the podcast, and he said he wanted to come on, and I was like... Can't do this week. You know, we already booked this week, but
we'll get you next
time. Money in the bank. Yeah. Up in 2 weeks because this happens every 2 weeks now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That is true. There are so many pay per views. Yeah.
I think obviously Sean Merriman too, but
I don't think that's gonna happen. Yeah. At this point, probably not.
He lost to CM Punk on the challenge.
Oh, what was the challenge?
I was gonna
say.
It was a weird, like, fencing challenge.
Okay.
That would only be embarrassing if it was mixed martial arts. Because if you lose to CM Punk in mixed martial arts, you should be effing embarrassed.
Correct.
You should be effing embarrassed.
One of the MTV guys went on and just, like, called Punk out. He's just like, you're such a loser. You couldn't cut in wrestling. You couldn't cut in mixed martial arts. So you're coming onto my turf now and trying to cut it here.
Oh.
It was pretty wonderful.
Did he beat CM Punk at least?
In a weird challenge, yes, in a kind of non-athletic challenge, but yes, he did.
Is CM Punk that athletic? I mean...
No, but this was an especially... the team challenge where he lost...
Like, the way you set it up is like, if it was an athletic challenge, CM Punk would have definitely won. I think CM Punk's a great pro wrestler.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was ever the greatest athlete.
But these are also drunk assholes who came up through the real
world.
Now,
that is true, too. All right, let's make some picks for Sunday in Baltimore. I presume we'll all be there, although for me it's totally touch and go.
I have a ticket for you.
Yeah, it's really touch and go.
I'm going to be in the front row.
Oh, listen to this asshole.
Of course you are.
With
Johnny Crab Cakes himself.
Oh.
Cheering for your boy, Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Johnny's boy.
Who's been my boy this whole time.
He's been John's boy the entire time. John has always been a huge fan of Roman Reigns.
Factual.
Forever.
Don't you remember him carrying the sign saying how awesome Roman Reigns was?
He showed up at Raw.
I'm pretty sure the sign actually said, if Roman talks, we run.
I think it said, if Roman talks, we listen respectfully and appreciate the greatness that we're observing.
Long monologue from Roman Reigns.
That was what it said. So we're going to make our picks, obviously, for this week. Now, we are going to pay off the last bet we lost next week when we are all in Virginia for Aaron's wedding. The three of us all have to dress up as sexy cops.
We all have our costumes, correct? I have mine.
I have mine.
Okay, so I have a costume. As I told the guys before we got on the air, I went as Lieutenant Dangle for Halloween a couple years ago. And the idea of a Lieutenant Dangle costume is that it's a little snug, right?
Yeah. It's a nut hugger.
I've also gained a few LBs since that time, boys. Got married, had a couple kids. I ain't exactly like watching my calories every day. You're going to see my testicles if I wear this costume. Like, you will see.
It won't be the first time.
Well, that's probably true, too. That's a good point.
I mean,
you will
jump naked pretty much into the pond.
I did do that. Not because I wanted to. I actually change in the alley between houses. So if anybody had walked out, they would have seen my bare ass hanging out in the alley between the houses in a rather affluent neighborhood in Orlando. So I have a costume. We'll see if I end up going with that one or if I get another one. But in the meantime, we're going to make a bet for this week. And this week, I think our bet, we decided before the show, based on what's been going on in Raw recently, one of our favorite parts, of course, is Goldust. And so whoever loses and ties, right? We're all in agreement and ties.
Yes.
We'll have
be
to
be interesting during this pay-per-view, but yes.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's a good point. We'll have to cut a promo, post it on relevant social media, where you are in full Goldberg. Jesus Christ.
That'd be really easy. Yeah, right.
Great point for Ben. Full Goldust makeup for this promo. And you got to cut a
Shattered Dreams Productions.
A full Shattered Dreams production promo about how you suck at making picks and why the other guys are better. All right?
Okay.
Everybody good with that?
Yes. Sure.
Very good. Now,
I need to get back to my winning ways, man. I hadn't lost in a while, and then I lost the last two.
It's been a pretty rough stretch for you.
Fucking genius.
Of course, at least you didn't lose only because you insisted on suggesting another addition to the picks and that the championship match wouldn't be the main event. At least that's not the reason why you lost. Not that anyone ever would.
No,
because
absolutely
that would
not.
Be stupid.
I mean, Aaron, I honestly got to say, that is one of the dumbest things that's ever happened on
our
show.
Did you see the video this weekend of the minor league player who ended up striking out because a pitcher dropped the ball?
Yeah.
Pitcher drops the ball.
Well, he finished it. He looked like he was going to box, so he just kind of pushed it forward.
And the batter, jokingly took a swing at it, and the umpire called him out on a strikeout.
I didn't see that video.
Okay. Yeah. Watch it, because that's what Aaron did to himself. Aaron is that guy. He's that guy.
Aaron's like, no, oh.
I still say Randy Orton had won.
By the way, we already know he's wrong. He's still somehow standing by it.
I'm still standing by it.
We already know he got it wrong.
I got it wrong.
It wasn't the main event.
I'm still standing by it.
Yeah, but still, it could definitely have been.
If Orton had won, it would have happened.
here's the thing that I didn't understand the most about that whole situation.
Yeah.
Was the fact that not only were you insisting that the main event would not be the WWE title match.
Yes.
But initially you said it wouldn't be the WWE title match because they were billing the pay-per-view around Shinsuke, so the main event had to be the Shinsuke match,
and then we made the pick!
He didn't even pick the Shinsuke match!
Yeah, well, hold on, I said they were building around that. They also, to be fair, showed a lot of promos for AJ
they
Owen.
They normally, before a pay-per-view, show a lot of promos for all of the matches!
They didn't show any promos for the heavyweight title!
Oh, for God's sake.
That's false. And I can bet, you wanna bet me $100 I can find
one? Watch NXT TakeOver. Watch NXT TakeOver. Look at what they did commercials for.
You mean to tell me that on NXT TakeOver, they might have promoted the guys that used to be on NXT?
Who would have guessed?
Well, that is a goofy idea.
I know, crazy,
Aaron.
Right?
What a goofy idea. What a goofy thought.
Aaron, what other stupid thing?
Remember also what happened last week when Aaron tried to make a point? Remember?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
I got a lot of feedback about that this week. A lot. We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
All right.
We'll get SmackDown second segment.
Let's get to it. 8 o'clock Sunday night on pay-per-view, if for whatever reason you're the one guy that still watches that way. And the WWE Network from Baltimore's own Royal Farms Arena. It is Extreme Rules. What's the first match, Aaron?
First match, we have the Cruiserweight title on the line in a submission match as Neville takes on Austin Aries.
Now, Ben Nash, as our guest, you get to make the first pick every time. For every match, the first pick belongs to you. All right? All right. So you're up.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Aries, for sure.
Do you feel like suggesting any particular reason why you're going with Aries?
I think they're going to give him the title. I think it's
about You think it's time?
Yeah, for
it's
sure. Time. I mean, they've right. milked it out too long.
All right. AJ Francis?
You know what's funny is before this week, I was dead set on Austin Aries winning this. But he looked too damn good on Monday. Yeah. Like he looked, it looked like the
it's
classic.
My exact thought process. Yep.
It looked like the classic, yeah, we're still not going to give it to you, so we want you to look good, and we want Neville to keep the belt. And the only reason I could, I'm at a crossroads because it could be Aries.
See you at the crossroads, and you won't be lonely.
Here's the thing. You give it to Aries, he ends the feud.
I'm going to miss everybody. I just thought we were doing a Bone Thugs thing. I'm really kind of pissed that nobody joined me on it.
I got you. But he wins. Let's say Aries wins. And then the rematch is at Great Balls of Fire.
I'm going to laugh every time.
And then probably the main event, the title match at SummerSlam would be Aries versus Tommaso Ciampa?
I was going to say Ciampa. A heel Cedric.
You got a problem with that?
No, I don't. Yeah. But what if you just keep the belt on Neville, and it looks like they're trying to build up Rich Swann again, and Jack Gallagher never got a title?
Well, okay.
I'm going to go with Austin Aries, but I feel awkward about it.
Ooh, boy, could you have done more wavering there? Could you have flip-flopped?
That's
a
hard. That's a hard match to pick.
Goddamn Senator John Kerry over here with all of his flip-flopping.
Yeah, did you still have your flip-flops on?
That is, by the way.
When you got naked in the...
No, I didn't. That was a 13-year-old joke.
Yes, I was going to say 2004 reference there. Yep, strong.
All right, the answer is Austin Aries. And by the way, you know the next pay-per-view could just be Austin Aries Neville again. They could just do that. Neville's had the belt for a little
while.
That's
literally what I just said.
Presumably. Well, you didn't. You suggested all these other things.
No, I actually literally said Austin Aries wins the belt, and then you end the feud
at
Great Balls of Fire.
And then he asked, who was it?
All right, well, then I'm the asshole. That's my one. Unlike some people in this room, when you're an asshole and you get proven wrong, it's okay to say, I'm an asshole and I'm wrong.
Aaron.
All right? You can do that. No, the answer is Austin Aries. It's time. It's time. You can't keep, you know, he's too much of a star. There's too much money there. Now, I think they are running into the problem that inevitably you're going to have when you have an entire, you know, show and just one belt, which is how do you get more guys over without the belt? They're doing something neat, which I don't know if anybody suggested before, which is like having them interact with other superstars for another show. I feel like somebody suggested that at some point. I don't know who it was, but it's a really good idea, and I'm glad. Anyway. Yeah, the answer is Austin Aries.
Yeah, I'm with AJ that this week was really weird if you're going to have Austin Aries. I mean, there's no reason to have Neville tap out and do that backstage segment if he's losing. At the same time, are you really going to have Austin Aries lose for the third straight, or I guess not lose for the third straight time, but not win the title for the third straight time? That seems completely ridiculous to me, and maybe you slingshot it back to Neville at Great Balls of Fire. You give him the mini run there, but I think that not giving it to Aries is a mistake here.
Yeah, I agree. All right, next. We all just agreed on that, by the way, which is terrible. Whenever Aaron starts fidgeting with the computer, I get nervous as shit about what's going on and if we lost everything that we had recorded at this point.
No, I was typing up the
picks. I just get nervous as shit, Aaron, for good reason. I don't know if you've been around
here,
before.
Look, you can see the recording
all right,
good.
Right
there.
I can see it.
It's right there.
I'm going to keep a close eye on that.
Keep your close eye on it.
Go ahead. Next.
We got a mixed tag match, as you alluded to before, as Rich Swann and Sasha Banks take on Noam Dar and Alicia Fox.
Ben Nash, equipment manager, University of Maryland.
Yeah, got to go with Sasha Banks and Rich Swann. I don't see Rich Swann losing in Baltimore, right?
I mean,
it is WWE.
You're right.
Bailey lost in San Jose
lose.
Or wherever.
Jesus.
But,
we just had AJ Styles
lose
in Georgia.
But they're not going to lose to Noam Dar, and, you know, that's not going to happen.
You know, they just had Alicia Fox beat Sasha Banks, like, cleanly, one-on-one, right? Like, They could definitely do that.
They definitely could.
Like, right, yeah, I'm next. Yeah. I actually think it makes way more sense to have Alicia Fox and Noam Dar win this match, particularly if what we're trying to get to is a Sasha Banks heel turn. Now, I still don't know if that's exactly... Like, if they're doing that... Bayley, I think, gets out of the picture at some point for the title, so you got to figure out who your top face is if you end up doing that. But I think it's more logical right now for them, if they're going towards a Sasha Banks heel turn, and that's sort of, to me, what's made the most sense for a Sasha Banks-Bayley match would be a Sasha Banks heel turn. So I think you have them lose this match, and I think Noam Dar and the great Alicia Fox. And if you ever disparage Alicia Fox, Aaron, I will murder you, because Alicia Fox is amazing. But yes, I have them winning.
Man, I had forgotten about the Rich Swann, Baltimore. Yeah. He always loses there. Man, or not he always loses.
Yeah, I don't think Rich Swann's
ever, wrestled
yeah.
there. But you know what they it was? I'm going with the faces just because I think that it's Rich Swann and Sasha Banks over Noam Dar and Alicia Fox, who both right now don't have direction.
Guy's trying to talk shit about Alicia Fox.
I'm saying
trying
right
to
now,
talk shit about Alicia Fox. She's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, she is.
She's a Hall
She's
of
wonderful.
Famer.
Correct.
Absolutely correct. I'm still picking the faces here, but man, that hometown thing has me worried now.
I hate this, man, because it really could go either way. This is really it's a coin flip.
By the way, my pick is totally based on the premise that you're trying to get Sasha Banks heel.
I don't know that's what you're trying to do. I get that, but I also think that I think this has a little more juice to it. I don't think that this is the end of it. I think there's a little more juice that can be squeezed out of this lemon, and if you did want to do that, I'm not saying they do, but if you did want to do that, the way to do that is to have Noam and Alicia Fox win cheap here, and you can keep it going for a little while, keep Sasha out of the picture until around SummerSlam, and then you have SummerSlam, and I think you could still have face Sasha versus Alexa Bliss. Or you could just have Sasha win here and build momentum to face Alexa Bliss.
Right.
So it goes either way. I'm going to go with Sasha and Rich Swann, but I think this might be the reason
I'll take this point, boys.
I think I might end up as Goldust.
Catch this L.
Yep.
Are you guys still in agreement that we're building towards Sasha Bayley at SummerSlam?
No.
No.
Okay. I think it's Sasha, Alexa Bliss.
I think Alexa holds. I don't know. It might be like Alexa, Sasha, and Bayley, but it's not Bayley.
I just don't understand why it is that we've done all this with Sasha Bayley if you're not trying to pay that off at SummerSlam. I just don't understand what the point
is. Alexa Bliss came aboard and that became more important.
I think you could do both. I think Alexa Bliss could have a championship match and Sasha and Bayley could have another match at SummerSlam.
I think so too, but I don't think that's going to happen.
All right. Next.
Yeah, I don't know who Alexa's opponent would be in that.
Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox.
Fox.
Hall of Famer, Alicia Fox. And how dare you say anything negative about her or her lovely behind.
Or Paige.
Ooh.
I mean, I have no problem with that.
When was the last time we saw Paige? Well, now wait a second.
Extreme rules indeed.
She will get cheered when she comes out because of that.
I mean,
if
what's
she ever
not
comes
to cheer?
Out again.
Yeah, true.
Not that I would watch that because that would be wrong. Go ahead, next.
Tag
shouldn't
titles.
Do that. You shouldn't watch. That's stolen. That was stolen. And you guys shouldn't. You guys are bad people if you watch that. You guys, sons of bitches.
Yeah, I agree.
You guys are awful. Aaron's the terrible one here. Aaron's a terrible.
That's
he was
right.
watching that. Those eight videos. He was watching all eight of them. Yeah. Oh wait, were there eight?
I was just throwing
out a number.
Yeah, no. You had them classified. How long is the longest one?
I didn't watch any of them. I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course not. Tag titles are on the line in a steel cage as the Hardy Boys take on Sheamus and Cesaro.
Ben?
No, Hardy Boys. They're going to do some crazy shit off the top, you know.
Well, and that's
classic Hardys.
That's the thing. They're going to do crazy shit off the top, and I think that crazy shit off the top is what costs them the titles here. Yeah. I think you're going to see maybe Jeff have a chance to win the match, and instead he does something that he shouldn't do both in kayfabe and in real life and try to break his neck. And that ends with a Cesaro-Sheamus win, which could start the road down to, hopefully, us getting the Broken Hardys again.
And I'm in agreement with Aaron. I believe that that is what's going to happen, that Sheamus and Cesaro are going to win the match, and they're going to, as they said on Monday night, they're going to break the Hardys, which was their exact words.
I remember them saying that.
And I think it's going to lead to Broken Matt and Jeff. And I think it's going to lead to the Sheamus and Cesaro having the belts and somehow getting out of this. I was going to say them eventually facing Enzo and Cass, but I don't know.
If there's going to be a tag team. Right.
But yeah, I think Sheamus and Cesaro are the new tag champs.
I think you're in a bit of a crisis with Sheamus and Cesaro. Yeah, Jesus. Where if they don't win the belts here, what's the point, right? Like, what? You can't keep going with them and the Hardys because you can't justify it. And then if they're not going after the tag belts for two top-notch singles performers, what's the point of them remaining a tag team at that point?
Plus, did you have them lose every week for 7 weeks straight if they're going just lose here,
I think you're in a little bit of a bind with them, and so I probably tend to agree that you kind of have to pull the trigger. I don't think it's the end of the feud. I think that they still continue to work with each other. I think that you're still going to get an Enzo. I think that we'll get an Enzo and Cass revival program before we get the Enzo and Cass split.
Yes.
So I think that'll come in the revival would then be in the picture, presume for either Enzo and Cass or the Hardy Boys who are not either Sheamus and Cesaro or the Hardy Boys, whoever would come out of that and say Great Balls of Fire. But I'm with you boys and I don't like that at all. But Ben maybe will pick up a point here and then we're all going to be screwed.
Never know.
The Jericho beating Owens
right. So yeah.
Fuck you, Miggs.
Yeah, Steve Miggs. What an asshole. Nobody likes
him. That actually was Trent Murphy.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you,
right.
Trent.
Right. Yeah, that actually worked out. Actually, that worked out great for you and I.
Yeah, for you and I, it worked out great. Fuck you, Trent, you piece of shit. I hate you and your hands. And your gigantic hands.
That's Alexa Bliss's future husband, and you show some respect.
I apologize.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to throw this one out here right now because it's not officially made yet, but and if you guys don't want to pick it, that's fine. R-Truth and Goldust are not on the official match list right now. Do we want to pick it? Because it seems like that should be a match.
And
right?
I don't know if that's definitely going to be now or if they're going to hold off on that. I'm good either way. How many matches are there total?
There's six, not including that match. So
I mean, we could pick it.
You want to pick it? Let's pick that one.
All right. We'll just make this a wild card. Everybody throw out a name.
Goldust.
Okay, there we go. All right.
That was pointless. Moving on.
Good times.
Way to go, Aaron. Really added something to the show there.
Hey, I thought you of all people might pick R-Truth. I mean, look, you have no faith in your boy.
You think
is a jobber. You hate him. I don't know what's going on right here.
If you say another word.
R-Truth's response to Goldust.
Oh, it was awesome.
Oh. He's amazing.
What was his production name? It was like something ridiculous, right?
I forgot.
But you started the sentence with R-Truth, so it was always going to end with awesome. Like, I don't know what you... You can put whatever you want to put in between those two words, but the sentence starts with R-Truth. It ends with awesome. That's the way that it goes. Next,
I see title on the line in a... If Dean Ambrose is disqualified at Extreme Rules,
that is extreme. I'll tell you,
the
title that's an extreme
change
rule.
Hands between Dean Ambrose and Miz.
Ben Nash.
I'm gonna go with the Miz. I don't really have a reasoning for it. I don't know. I was looking at that and I was like, I don't know who to pick on this one. It's so up in the air. I'm gonna go with the Miz. They're gonna get him his title back.
It's on me.
Yep, you.
I agree with you. I think Miz. It's time for Miz to win the title back. And you know what? I love Dean Ambrose. And I love everything he's done, and he has already had a Hall of Fame career. But The Miz is right when he says that he hasn't done anything for the Intercontinental title.
Really,
and The Miz, when he had the Intercontinental title, it was the top title on SmackDown, period. And I think he'll make it the top title on Raw, mainly because the Universal title isn't on Raw, but also because The Miz has the belt. So I'm going to go with The Miz, and I also want to propose this question. Which to you is more extreme? The fact that which is more of an extreme match?
Okay.
If The Miz, if Dean Ambrose gets disqualified, he loses the title, or a regular mixed tag match?
I mean, totally extreme, bros. We're going to get all jacked up on Monster Energy Drink, and then we're going to have a regular wrestling match. The answer is, of course, The Miz. That is the answer to the question. It is time for The Miz to hold the belt. The other thing about Dean Ambrose's character, I don't think belts are supposed to matter when you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's supposed to matter if you have a belt or not. I think The Miz, when you're an egomaniac, when you're it's more important for that character to have a belt. So, yes, The Miz is the answer.
I agree.
Yeah, I've been working on the assumption that The Miz is going to win. When this, two things the past couple weeks have made me start to waver slightly. One is the fact that they, you know, they made it clear that, oh, if Maurice comes in and slaps Miz, that's a DQ. Like, you know, they did that thing 2 weeks ago. So you've kind of put that out there, and I could see them almost teasing that in order for, you know, to surprise you, and Ambrose catches the slap or something, ends up getting the win as Miz is complaining. And also, the way I was thinking of it, you know, we're trying to figure out something for Goldust to do after this, and we've all thought, oh, maybe he enters the Intercontinental title picture scene. It would make a lot more sense if Ambrose was there. That being said, I do think Miz is a way better champion. I, as you said, I think you need an important champion there, and that's The Miz. So I'm going with The Miz.
The answer was The Miz, so we got that out of that, and that's somehow we got there. Yeah. I appreciate it all, but we got to the answer. Next one, and another one. Yes.
Yes. We have the Raw Women's title on the line in a kendo stick on a pole match, a Vince Russo special there, as Alexa Bliss takes on Bayley.
Alexa. She's going to hold on to the title for a while.
It's me. Yeah, it is me. Damn it. I agree. It's Alexa. I look, you guys are probably right, but I far prefer my idea of getting to Sasha Bayley and then Alexa somebody else at SummerSlam. But, yes, Alexa should be the champion. I don't know at this point. I said all along, I don't really understand why Bayley was the champion to begin with. Giving her another title reign at this point, I just don't get it. Alexa's the answer.
Alexa's winning, and I'm telling you how she's winning. Bayley is going up. Bayley is getting the kendo stick. Alexa is cheating somehow to knock the kendo stick out of her hand and pinning her that way after Bayley wails.
Can you cheat in Extreme Rules?
Cheating, not cheating, but do something underhanded in a kendo stick on a pole match. So Bayley will get the
trying to win?
Like a low blow?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, whatever, you punch the wall. Yeah, whatever the women's version of a low blow is.
God, I'd love if that's what they did. That would be so amazing if that's what they would do.
It would be awesome.
Alexa gives Bayley a low blow and then schoolboys her for the win.
Yes.
Oh, exactly. Bayley sells it? Like, oh my God, that would be amazing.
It would be pretty wonderful.
So great.
I gotta think that getting hit in your, I mean, it's obviously not as bad as getting hit in your balls, but I gotta think getting hit in your vagina.
No, it's probably not.
Oh,
hurts.
It's not
pleasant.
Ball.
I gotta think
right.
It hurts.
Right. Are you completely?
Alexa Bliss wins.
That's what I figured.
Period.
All right.
And we got the main event. We have a 5-way number one contender match.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. Go ahead, list all the, you know,
I have to list. It is Roman Reigns, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe, and Bray Wyatt.
It's so tough, man.
No, we're all looking at you, man. You don't get to bail out of this
one. I
gotta
think about it.
He gives us one swag bag and he gets to bail here. It's too difficult.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Bray.
Okay.
Go with Bray Wyatt. I think they'll end up doing like a Finn Bray, which would be a great storyline.
The winner's going to Brock.
Right, that's true.
I mean,
that's
right.
It's two powerhouses. I mean, I get the, you know, the David versus Goliath kind of thing with Finn, but I'm just gonna go Bray. Why not?
Yeah, I'm kind of in your shoes right now where I can see, I think there are three very viable people right now in Bray Wyatt. I think Samoa Joe is a little bit of a wild card, but I think after thinking about it more and thinking about last week's segment, I think they might pull the trigger on Finn Balor here. I think I don't like the idea of the tease if you're not going to fulfill it fairly quickly. And so I think that was the reason to do it. You tease it, and you follow through on it. Whether or not it leads to that heel turn, we'll see. But I think that Finn Balor gets the title shot here.
I think that you're going to get Brock Finn at SummerSlam. I don't think that you're going to get it at Great Balls of Fire. I'm with Ben. I'm picking Bray. I think Bray is going to win, and nothing made me more sure that he was going to win before him eating the pin to Samoa Joe this past Monday. As soon as he did that, I knew he was going to win. And you know what's crazy is I didn't think, the only person in this match I didn't think had a shot at winning was Seth Rollins. But then after him and Roman put on fantastic, utterly unbelievable
I can't see. What's the time marker on the show?
And unbelievable
how
match.
How far in are we?
Where Roman, when Seth and Roman were in the ring, the people in the audience were on their feet saying, this is awesome because Roman is awesome and so is Seth Rollins. But with Seth Rollins losing that match, I now gave him a little more credence. Maybe he can win because it...
That's why Roman Reigns fell from the
water. Minutes.
I know.
It took 5 minutes to get that.
Yeah. But with With it being, I'm assuming it's going to be a one-off. I think that this is building to Brock Bray at SummerSlam. I'm Brock Finn. I keep fucking that up. Brock Finn at SummerSlam. And realistically, any one of the other four guys can win because I think that eventually we're going to get Brock and Finn. So I'm going to pick Bray because I think that would be make the most sense for a one-month feud. But realistically, anyone could win this match.
Yeah.
I agree on all accounts. I have struggled with whether or not I think Brock Finn or Brock Roman is most likely for SummerSlam. That's where I'm struggling because if it's going to be Brock Roman, you could pull off Brock Finn at Great Balls of Fire. Then you'd have Finn this match.
Yep.
If it's Brock Finn, I think that Bray makes more sense. So I'm between Bray and Finn as my two options. I'm going to go Finn here. I don't think they have the balls yet to give Finn Balor the spot against Brock Lesnar in the money match at SummerSlam.
He was in the Universal title match at SummerSlam last year.
I understand that. They had some other things going on, and it didn't involve Brock Lesnar.
And that wasn't the main event. Brock Lesnar was the main event.
I think this is the Brock Lesnar match, and I think they're ultimately... Look, the only argument is if they want to wait until WrestleMania next year to pull the trigger on a Brock Roman rematch. I could totally see that. My gut tells
Brock,
me...
Brock.
Right, and there's
Brock,
always still Brock. That out there, of course.
Awesome.
The other, no, that would suck. Yeah. Nobody would want that.
Horrible.
Oh, how about Brock Batista now? But there's no way Batista's getting booed when he comes back now.
No, but I think that Batista's kind of like, F you guys.
I agree.
Yeah,
he said multiple times, like, I want to wrestle, I don't want to... He's basically said, I don't want to wrestle for WWE.
Yeah.
I just want to wrestle. Now...
He seemed to be really bitter about the Batista thing. Like, more bitter than any human being should be about the way that asshole wrestling fans should.
Well, no, it wasn't just that. It was the way, you know, he didn't like... Basically, that they put him in a bad situation where he's almost definitely going to be booed the way.
Yeah, I mean, like, dude, if you're really mad about that, like, come on, man. Anyway, I think they're ultimately, and it's funny you bring up the Roman Seth thing this week because this is my gut, and this is where I think they're going to screw up. I think they're going to come off that and say, well, now Roman's a face. And they're going to assume because he had one great match that they're going to trot him out there.
Word that different before I slap the shit out of you.
What?
Because he had one great match.
No. Because he had one note where he was getting cheered. Because he had one moment where he
was
getting...
That's completely different.
That's fair.
I will slap the
again,
shit out of you.
Again, when you're wrong, admit that you're wrong and move on. Unlike some people who... I'm not talking about anybody in general. Aaron, I'm just saying... When you're wrong, it's okay to be wrong. I don't even know what that is because my headphones suck. But I will tell you that I think that what I worry they will do is that they'll hear that reaction and say, we did it, guys! We did it! We got Roman back over as a face again! And they'll trot him out next week and think that, you know, everything's good and that the crowd will love him again. And obviously, I think we're all smart enough to know it doesn't work after just 1 week. That's not the way that you go about doing it.
Doesn't work after, you know, 156 weeks of great matches.
Has he ever had a great match? I don't even remember. 156 weeks. I can't remember if
he's
ever put on a good match.
That's 3 years for you non-math majors.
The moral of the story is I think they're going to go Roman Brock at SummerSlam, and so in order to get the Roman Brock at SummerSlam, I think they're going to feed him Finn at Great Balls of Fire. So my pick to win the match is Finn Balor as Kurt Angle, our esteemed general manager. That was not good. All right, there you go. Those are our picks for Sunday night and Extreme Rules. Ben Nash, let's plug your Twitter or something, right? Like,
are you sticking around? Or are
you going to hang out? You going to do the rest?
Yeah, I'll stick around.
Oh,
yeah,
shit, we're not plugging. Cool. Then we ain't plugging shit for you. Go fuck yourself.
Before we move
this
on.
This guy wanted to plug. He's going to sit here.
You're trying to kick this guy out.
Well, I thought he was just coming in to do picks.
You fucking blew.
Yeah, right? You're fired. I had no idea. I thought maybe he had to go to do his job or something. Jesus. I didn't know. Like the rest of us, he can just dick around and talk about wrestling for 2 hours.
As much as I can get out of the office, I'll do it.
I don't blame you. All right.
Before we move on to SmackDown here, we mentioned it, the Enzo thing. Is it obviously cast at this point, or are they going to go with the swerve here?
No, it's going to end up being cast. But I almost don't know if it matters who attacked him. Like, I think they could almost do a double thing here where, like, it really was the revival, but that,
Enzo
like...
Enzo thinks it's cast?
Yes, and that ends... I think they could do any sort of number of things here, but I do think that ultimately they want Cass to be a singles guy. I don't know how we get to that, but I think that will lead to an Enzo Cass match, probably at SummerSlam, but I think we'll get Enzo and Cass, as I said, I think we'll get an Enzo Cass revival.
You know, the only problem I have with that is that I think Cass by himself is going to fail.
I don't disagree with that. But I just know the way that Vince McMahon works with big guys. He sees a big guy and he's just like, ah! He's like me whenever I watch Kurt Angle. He just shoots loads everywhere. Everywhere! I do appreciate, by the way, that Ben wore a rain jacket just in case.
Yeah, that was right.
Just in case there was any flying jizz in the studio this week. But you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know that Vince sees Cass and says he should be a singles guy, he shouldn't be in a tag team. And I don't disagree with
him. Because he's going to end up doing what he's already been doing, which is just like be big tough Enzo.
Right.
But not as like witty and not as good. And I think that's going to flounder because Enzo's going to still be around and he's still going to be Enzo.
Yes. Yes. Agreed on all accounts. Correct. Yeah. Now, I think if they did it, they would be smarter to have Enzo be his hype man, not to split the two of them up.
Yeah. Right.
Like, if they want to make Cass...
You just basically demote Enzo.
Yeah,
to full-time
correct.
Manager.
You just sort of say, dude, you know, love you, but you're gonna be an awesome hype man. You're going to be a tremendous manager. There's nothing... Hey, that's pretty... Have you seen Paul Heyman? You ever see that guy? Worked out pretty fucking well for him.
Yeah.
Maybe give it a shot.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. All right, very good. When we come back in, we'll get into SmackDown. That's next. Ben Nash from the University of Maryland is hanging out with us. I'm Glenn, he's Aaron, and he's...
The main event.
AJ Francis, this is Jobbing Out.
Baltimore, it's time. Time for Major Golf. Time for golf's legends. Time to get up close and see it live. Get your tickets to see legends like John Daly, Colin Montgomery, and three-time defending champion Bernard Langer at this year's Constellation Senior Players, July 11th through 16th at prestigious Cave Valley Golf Club. Tickets start at only $20 and kids get in free. Visit cspgolf.com to learn more today.
Hey, this is Stan the Fan, the old wily veteran of Baltimore baseball talk. While my fastball might not sit at 95 miles per hour anymore, we'll get by talking baseball just the same. Every Saturday morning from 10 to 12, Craig Heist will be co-hosting most weeks, and together, our baseball Rolodexes will provide you, the listeners, with some compelling talk about the national pastime, the teams you like to root for, and all the machinations going on within the 2017 baseball season. That's the Bat Around, every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Listen here or see us on Facebook Live.
A new summer menu with two great new items at Chick-fil-A Nottingham Square. First up, the Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich. It's Chick-fil-A's signature grilled chicken and new bacon glazed in a brown sugar pepper blend. Served on a Hawaiian-style bun with Colby Jack cheese, green leaf lettuce, and a zesty Smokehouse Barbecue sauce that's crafted specifically for the sandwich. They also have the Watermelon Mint Lemonade. You can get it as a regular or a diet lemonade. It's got all natural watermelon and mint flavors, and it's complimentary to the Smokehouse Barbecue Sandwich. Get the Chick-fil-A Nottingham Square, 5198 Campbell Boulevard, in the Nottingham Square Shopping Center. Tell Steve Pavlovsky we said hello and get there before August 19th because these items are available for a limited time only.
Latest edition of Press Box is available now. On the cover, Rich Dubroff. Profiles, Orioles first base coach Wayne Kirby, who is wildly popular among fans. Ravens beat writer Bo Smoka breaks down their roster, post-NFL draft, and much more. Press Box is available for free at over 500 area locations, including 60 Royal Farm stores. You can also find the entire edition as well as the best daily coverage of the Orioles, Ravens, and Terps at PressBoxOnline.com.
So Aaron made quite the proclamation before he hit play. He said, I know we've never used this music before. And I'm like, who could it be? Like, we've definitely played Jinder's music a couple times recently.
Yes. Randy Orton's definitely got a couple spins.
But I think he's right. I think we've never used Tamina Snuka's music before.
I don't think I heard it before.
Correct.
A
I don't think
ago.
I knew that Tamina Snuka Tell had music.
No.
Back in here for segment number two, it is Jobbing Out, Glenn Clark, Ben Nash from the University of Maryland, Aaron Oster from the Baltimore Sun and Rolling Stone, and of course...
The main event.
That's right, we only do it once in the middle of the show. I always forget this shit, man. Like, I'm always ready
for... The thing is, isn't the 116th episode.
Dude, I will get us to about 120, and I think I'll really start to feel exactly.
Hold on, I just realized, Ben, you have on the Rock's Under Armour cap.
Absolutely.
Yes,
do you guys have any of the Rock Under Armour lifting shoes?
I have a pair, personally. Not.
Cocksucker.
Sorry, dude.
Yes, because AJ definitely couldn't afford to purchase a pair.
No, they're sold out.
Are they really?
Yeah.
They're sold the
Well,
fuck
then he
out.
Couldn't. All right, fair enough. Turns out you were right. All right, let's get into SmackDown.
That's usually how this show works.
Let's get into SmackDown. Speaking of being right, got a lot of feedback about our show last week.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people that brought up that we spent an awful lot of time on one particular topic. Now, it was the one topic that mattered in professional wrestling last week.
And we deserved it. We deserve the time to talk about what we want on our own goddamn show.
Yeah, correct. If you don't like it, I think there's about 6 billion other wrestling podcasts out there. Enjoy that.
That and all talked about gender for an hour last week.
And on top of that, we had to disprove that Aaron is an ass.
Well, that's true.
He's
we, of course,
worst.
Obviously.
I fucking hate Aaron so much.
AJ and I had the moral high ground, obviously, last week. Ben, did you listen to last week's show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was stuck in the airport in Cleveland.
Do you want to weigh in on the back and forth at all and side with either Aaron or with those of us that are correct? I'm just saying, you could go either way. Yeah. Like, you could either go with the two that are right or you can go with Aaron, whichever you want to go.
I mean, I'm trying to remember. What was it?
Oh, we were.
Yeah, he didn't really.
Yeah.
No, you know,
I was going through 6 hours of delays, and then my flight got canceled, so I was a little irritated.
This is about the gender issue, where Aaron suggested that it was bad for business and that they were going to be wrecked.
Oh, right. No,
wrecked.
It's not bad. For
oh,
business.
I did.
No.
This was going to crush
no
them.
Way.
Aaron said, "This,
yes, that's,
we would look back
exactly
as this day
yes,
as
yes.
the day
the
wrestling
died."
What is it on? I think I read on Twitter like the ratings have gone up like a ridiculous amount.
Oh,
did.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Oh, you mean the ratings went up since Jinder Mahal
was the
WWE champion?
That's weird.
Aaron.
Did you read that on Twitter? That's such a goofy
fucking
thing.
Hate Aaron.
That's so goofy. You read that on Twitter, you said.
Yeah, you know, I think so.
The ratings went up.
The ratings.
Last week, son of a bitch.
You
knew that last week.
Oh, that's crazy. I hadn't heard anything about the ratings going up. That's a goofy thing, man. I just heard that Jinder wrecked the ratings. That's what I heard.
Jinder
was singularly responsible for not only wrecking SmackDown, wrecking all of professional
all
wrestling.
All of wrestling. You know, everything
frankly,
that's going on in Japan, Jinder is...
What I had heard is that he was gaslighting the entire country. That's what Jinder Mahal was gaslighting the United States of America.
Yeah, this
heard.
Is factual.
Yeah, I had heard all that. So, but you're telling me that's not the case, that actually everything's... The ratings were good.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be fine.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go.
Like,
go
we've
with
survived
that, sure.
Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, I think we're still good. It's
WWE
still a company.
WWE is still programming.
God damn it.
Right
I was
still. Right now.
And
you're looking forward to it.
And so here I was prepared to move the canister.
And mind you, this is also the same guy that said NXT would be out of business by now.
I mean,
yes, of course, that's exactly what I said.
Heard
NXT
like that.
Would be
I
out
heard
of
something
business.
Something like that.
Fake news.
Boy, this is a lot of fun. I got to tell you. If we don't talk about anything else, if we just relive everything we did last week instead of talking about SmackDown, this week, I'm totally okay
that's
with that. I'm totally okay.
I fucking hate you, man.
So the big news this week, of course, is that we are getting the women's Money in the Bank match, which, of course, it's time for a women's Money in the Bank match. It's probably been time. Look, I made the argument that I don't understand if... Well, you have a Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Yep.
Brock Lesnar's not going to be there, right?
Yep.
Like, we know that. Why wouldn't you just have 6 Money in the Bank matches? Why wouldn't you do... And I'm going to throw it all out there. Why wouldn't you do both title matches as Money in the Bank, or to both championship Money in the Bank matches?
Yep.
I'm not even suggesting the tag teams. I'm not even suggesting that, because I think that there's too much. 2 women's Money in the Bank matches, the Cruiserweight as a Money in the Bank match, and the NXT title as a Money in the Bank match. 6 Money in the Bank matches on a Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and you're telling me that doesn't scream, I have to watch this. I have to pay for my WWE Network subscription to make sure that I can watch to find out who's about to become the number one contender for 6 different belts. Yes, correct. You
it
can say
really
I'm
sick.
Right. Yeah, thank
no,
you.
It
it's all right.
Be,
the argument against would simply be that you lessen the impact of the one if you have to come up with 6 different storylines on how you're using money in the briefcases.
I don't know if you know this. There are billion-dollar company.
I'm not saying,
I know that we do things half-assed and sort of cockneyed around here.
You've never complained about WWE
doing something half-assed. I understand that. What I'm saying is I think they should be able to do that.
They should be able to.
Yes.
That would be the argument against. That's all I'm saying. I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah.
But...
Of course you wouldn't, because it's amazing, and I'm a genius, and that's fine. I understand you're unwilling.
I think the NXT one would be too much. I don't think NXT money...
Well, typically NXT doesn't get involved.
But other than that...
It would be awesome, though.
That would be... It would, I mean, it would.
It would be
incredible. And who would you have win the NXT...
Well, that would be the perfect spot to have, like, Cassius Ohno win it. Somebody who's not currently in the...
Drew Galloway is the question.
Sure, that's fine.
Well,
yeah. That's the same thing, right? Somebody who's not currently in the title picture, but we all know...
Andrade Almas?
Another great one.
Boys, we can sit here all day, and we can keep doing this, and you and I both know what the fucking answer is. No! Wait! No, say! No,
I thought you were
going
to say R-Truth goes down to NXT and...
He's been hurt.
Yeah. I believe he returns, though.
Does he?
Yeah, on the latest tapes. I know nothing.
Nobody deserves the NXT Money in the Bank more than the Velveteen Dream.
I'm on board. I'm on board with that. So that's the way that I would go about doing it. Now, all that being said, this is a logical next step, and a next step that's overdue, right? Like, they should have done a women's Money in the Bank match before they only had 6 women on each show. You know what I mean? Like, they used to have 12 women to choose from, and now they only have 6. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be one of the women that's on the show. So it's a little bit different, but it makes all the sense in the world.
Is this a spot you could bring back Eva Marie for?
I was going to say Lana.
Lana too?
Lana shows up in the match.
Well, there's still also the Nikki Bella factor.
I think she's stepping away for a bit.
I think she's stepping away as long as John Cena's stepping away. Do you think Nikki Bella's gone longer than John Cena is?
I think...
No.
Yeah. And do you think that John Cena's really not going to be back before SummerSlam?
No.
Or, you know, it's John...
I could see Nikki being back. I could actually see Nikki being gone longer than John Cena just because she did have some of more of those neck problems with this latest run. She could want a full year off.
Oh, my God. I just realized... Remember we had a great idea of Kevin Owens versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the U.S. title at SummerSlam?
Right. I'm already naked.
Okay. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
You know,
Keep going.
You know we're actually
going
to get Kevin Owens versus John Cena for the U.S. title at SummerSlam.
That would make a lot of sense.
Fuck! Yeah, I was going to wait for Jinder. I was actually started with the way the promo went.
Do you think that John Cena is going to save America?
Yeah.
You think that's the idea here?
I mean,
yeah. John Cena is going to save America from...
You've never seen that match, right? Ever.
John Cena. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm sure John Cena beat every member of 3MB.
I was
going
to say, at 3MB. Yeah.
Oh, no question. Yeah. He definitely did that.
I mean, the Brooklyn Brawler beat 3MB.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I really don't know where they go with it, by the way, and thankfully we don't have to pick it this week.
It could go anywhere.
Yeah, because it's not.
You could put it on a face and use it to turn them heel. Like we have been talking about Charlotte or Becky turning, that's how you turn them heel.
And Charlotte kind of was acting a little bit like a heel again on Tuesday night. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. She was still within the context of, but the way she was being destructive was heel-ish.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, if I had to pick right now, I'd pick Natalya.
I love the idea of Carmella.
I think the idea is that...
By the way, have you seen the Carmella Calvin Klein thing?
No, I haven't.
I have not.
Well, boys, give me a second here. Hang on. No, you guys can continue talking, and I'll just need a second.
For the first, like, it's the first Money in the Bank match. For women. So usually for a first match like that, the person they want
to
put it on...
I just wanted to... This is a little evidence I wanted to share with the court, if I could.
And
just something I wanted to
I'm going to buy stock
in
Calvin Klein.
The court now, just if you guys... You know, just something I wanted to share, that's all. That's for show and tell, you know what I mean? Like,
I think for the first Money in the Bank women's match, you'd have to put the belt on someone that has a lasting impact that's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame one day. And
so, R-Truth.
Possibly.
Roman Reigns.
Obvious selection.
No, I didn't say put on the guy who puts on the best matches. I said, put an additional
15 minutes. Congratulations.
No, but I think because of that, the only real two people I could see winning that match are Charlotte and Natalya. So that's what I would think. Because at the current landscape right now, I went with Naomi as the champ and Charlotte as on the show and Becky Lynch on the show. The only real way that you could get Natalya the belt other than putting the bootstraps on her like you did the rocket straps on her like you did Jinder would be to have her win the Money in the Bank. So I think that's what I would
do. Well, we got 2 weeks to figure out exactly how we're going to go
about. Plus, I think she took the biggest bump
Well, there's no doubt about that.
So she's got to give her word.
But there's also the argument that you can just give it. Look, I
give it to Carmella and have her hold it for
a
while.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And I like the idea of you almost do a mirror of the Dolph Ziggler. So you had Dolph with AJ and Big E as the muscle. You have Carmella with Tamina as the muscle and James Ellsworth in the AJ Lee role. Almost in a mirror thing. I mean,
let's also not talk about the fact that it wouldn't be amazing if they had James Ellsworth pull down the briefcase.
He's going up, taking like a sick bump off the ladder. You know he is.
Yeah, let's not ignore that. Look, this is obviously a good thing for everybody involved. It's obviously a good thing for Money in the Bank. And the women's Money in the Bank, if you want to make Aaron's argument that you can have too many Money in the Bank briefcases and it's too much for everybody to follow, and I disagree, and I think they should be able to handle it, but having a second one is a very obvious thing they do.
And they've done it before.
Yes, correct. So this makes a lot of sense. As far as the rest of SmackDown is concerned, I was a little bit...
I think I know what you're about to say, and I'm going to slap you in the fucking face.
I don't know if you know what I'm about to say. I was a little bit put off by Jinder not being there.
Okay, never mind.
Like,
I apologize.
I mean, boy, now what did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to disparage the Fashion Files.
Oh, gee, are you out of your fucking mind?
I've actually saw people on Twitter.
It'd be like me saying pizza isn't a good food. Like, how stupid would that be? Jesus.
I see people on Twitter say that they're over.
Name names. Name fucking names.
Let me go.
We will disparage them. get me their email addresses.
We have a microphone right now.
Give
we
me
have
their
power.
Home address. Who is disparaging the greatest thing in the history ever?
There were other things you could disparage about the show, but not that one. That's the one thing you couldn't.
I don't know. I was... Yeah, give me names. I need names. I'm not big much of one for shaming, but I feel as though it's appropriate here.
Shame.
I feel as though this is
shame.
Appropriate.
Shame.
Throw dead fish at them as they walk through the town square. I think that's the way we need to go about doing that. No, I was a little bit put off by Jinder a week after the Punjabi celebration, the biggest celebration ever, not being there. Like, that was a little weird, right? Like, I'm just going to say...
Hey, I hope the ratings went down.
Oh, because Jinder wasn't there.
I hope they went down. I pray they went down.
I don't know what the reason is. I'll be the one to say it. Do you think they were at all fearful after Manchester about...
No. You're a dick.
In Georgia.
I think if anything, they would have used it to get more heat. If they were even thinking that way.
No, I think if they were thinking that way, I think there's a way difference.
I understand
that. I get
it,
but you're also, they're in Georgia, but they're in Atlanta.
I understand that, but let's, and AJ, I'm going to say this, and we're walking a fine line here. Let's not pretend that even the blackest communities are always so great with Muslim relations, okay? Now, a different type, the Muslim Brotherhood, that's different, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's still a...
No, I think you're an asshole.
I don't think
it had anything to do with that at all. And I think that you're grasping at straws. It's like when people say that ice cream sales is related to the murder rate because they both go up when it's high.
They're just
two things that don't really have anything.
Anyway, so why wouldn't you have Jinder Mahal on the show?
Why wasn't Randy Orton on the week before?
I don't know that either.
Why weren't the Usos on for 3 weeks when they were
champions? Well, I think the Usos are a little bit different than the champion of the show.
What would you have had him do?
Champs.
It's a little bit different than being the heavyweight champion.
What would you have had
him
do?
Oh, you mean like Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, I was about to say.
I guess, you know what, if your point is that we just don't have champions on the show anymore. Say, good news, once you win the title, you ain't gotta be here anymore!
No, I think here's a possible answer. What would you have had him do? Just basically the same thing, only on stage?
I think essentially yes.
Then I think
you don't think that's a little bit more effective than...
Not really, to be honest. I think that if you're not having him do any sort of physicality either way...
Why does anybody show up for the show?
If they're just there to cut a promo, I'm okay with them doing it backstage or whatever. Like, if that's the only thing they do on the show.
It's odd to me. It's just odd, man. I was struck by that. I was struck by how odd it was. And I'm also struck in general by whether... Whether it's a great idea for the WWE even for there to allow part of the storyline to be you don't like this guy because he's got a different color skin color.
What do you think, Randy, when Randy said the line, my grandfather would have slapped me for losing to someone like him,
that's how I took it too.
I'm a little uncomfortable with all of that, man. Like, I get it that it's an easy way to get heat on a guy, but like, man, really? Like, really? Is that what we're doing? Is that the, how we're going about getting heat? Is you look like that and I look like this? That's not... I get it that this is wrestling and
but it's not just wrestling. I get heat from the cops all the time.
I understand, but that's...
black.
This is supposed to be a different world, right?
Yeah, fantasy world here.
I don't know, man.
That line was a little rough to me.
It's a little bit much. It's a little bit much for me.
Speaking of the title picture, no Rusev.
They're just ignoring it, which could mean one of two things. It could mean that Rusev's not ready, and they're trying to make it go away.
I think that it means that they...
They think they caught lightning in a bottle and they want to push him to the back.
And I think that that's what it is. They had every plan to have Rusev Orton here, and then they decided to run with Jinder. And now they're just like, okay, we're going to pretend, you know, push that away and pretend it never happened.
Okay. I mean, I still don't think it's impossible that Rusev just wasn't ready. I still don't think that's an impossible scenario where the guy just literally was not ready to go. And so they're trying to make you forget that it ever happened. Now, I never like it when they're trying to make you forget that something happened. I don't think that's ever a good idea. You can still handle that by having Rusev address it.
Well, Jinder did do he did an interview, and apparently Vince told him when Vince told him he was going to win the title, he was like, well, I was just on this long losing streak. And Vince said, well, no one remembers anything that happened a month ago anyway.
I mean, that's a very WWE way of thinking. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I think that they should have Rusev address it.
Hold on, he told him he was going to win the title,
week
right after?
Jinder did an interview, I think it was with ESPN.com, it might have been CBS, I'm not sure exactly which one, and Jinder questioned, he's like, you're all of a sudden pushing me, he's like, you know, isn't this going to be a problem? And Vince was like, no, everyone has short-term memory, they don't remember things from a month ago.
So now you're saying just because he's pushing him, you said it was before when he told him he was going to win the title, and then you said he had just said he was on a long losing streak, but when he... I'm assuming he found out he was going to win the title like maybe a couple days before he actually did, and he wasn't on a long losing streak. So that's why I'm wondering.
I'll see if I can find the exact.
I'm confused at what you're saying. Is what I'm saying.
I'll find the exact wording. I'll see exactly where it was. Hold on.
Look, man.
Talk amongst yourself while I find it.
Look, man. I don't know exactly what was said, and so I can't speak to that yet. I know this much. The WWE does that. They absolutely do things and then just try to get you to pretend like they didn't exist. But they don't have to. There's nothing wrong with them saying, okay, we changed our mind about how we're going to go about it. It was going to be Rusev. We made it Jinder Mahal. Rusev's going to come back on television. He's allowed to be pissed. He's allowed to ask for a trade. He's allowed to do a number of things that would address the fact that he demanded a title shot and didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have both ways.
Right.
You can both not have him in the title match and still...
I mean, you could have Shane refuse to give him the title match and say, oh, if you don't want to show up, you don't show up. You know, you just got to acknowledge it, I think.
You can do something to clean it up.
It was, by the way, he did say that was his reaction upon learning he was winning the six-pack challenge.
Reaction to winning the six-pack challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
All right. Well, again, that's all that checks out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that all checks out. But it doesn't... My point is it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
You don't have to just try to make it so that this never happened. You can actually address it, and you can do something with it within storyline that makes sense. You could try to have Rusev, just go on a monster. He becomes a pissed-off monster out of this. He just goes in and kicks everyone's ass and demands a match with Shane at SummerSlam, right? Like, that's a pretty...
Yeah.
That would seem to be a pretty way to go about handling this. You know, you're going to give Shane a goddamn match at SummerSlam anyway. Rusev would make sense. That would be big for... We've talked about, you know, a Shane match being big for Rusev. It would be huge to have a match with Shane at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So you could do it that way and make it pretty simple, right? And then you address it despite the fact that you changed your mind from what your, you know, original plan was. That's okay. It's okay to change your mind.
Just don't shuffle him aside.
Right. And also still have that in storyline and address it and deal with it and use it for something, which I think is cool when they do it that way. So I'd be down for that. What else? The
New
Fashion
Day.
Files.
The
New
Day.
Right. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Don't you have...
God.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Oh, no. You're right. New Day. New Day's back. You know how I feel, which is I want them to be doing something bigger, right? I hope this is through SummerSlam with the New Day and the tag titles.
Nope. They're going to win it at SummerSlam.
So you think they're going to run with it for a while after that?
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that because it gets us more of the New Day, and we're all going to like that. I just wish they got more. I just wish there was a vision for something more. That's all. And I'm going to continue to wish that the same way that I continued to wish it a year ago. I wish there was a vision for this is fine, this would be better. That's all. I'll continue to say it, and you guys can continue. AJ in particular can tell me that I'm wrong, but I want better.
No, you're not wrong for wanting better. You're wrong for thinking that them being in the title picture isn't a big deal for them.
I don't think it's not a big deal. I just think that they can do more. That's all. And I've said before, you can also do both. There's three guys. There's three of them.
Yeah.
She'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, you can have both. You can have them in the tag title picture and doing something more than that. It's the amazing thing about having three guys in your group.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all. But look, I'm fucking happy to have the New Day back.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the New Day. So.
As long as they have mics, they're...
Right.
And
yeah.
That's all you need. I mean, my one concern is that it's just going to push the fashion police completely out of any picture. That's my concern right now.
Well, they were both on this week's show.
I know. They were
both
right
pretty
now.
Good.
I know. Yes. And I'm hoping that's
fashion
how it stands.
I'm telling you, the best thing that ever happened to Breezango and Tyler Breeze was the Fashion Files, because it has been the best thing on WWE programming for the past month.
Fact.
And because of that, they've carved their little niche. They got a match. They had a 5-minute segment and then had a match with the Colognes. And it's so funny that they found Cologne, and that's how they knew it was the Colognes. They are like, they're like perfectly mixing between Zoolander and Anchorman and Master of Disguise and all these ridiculous, hilarious comedies that have, and like, damn, what's that old 80s cop, like ridiculous cop movie?
Oh, Police Squad? No.
Police Academy?
Police Academy. Yeah. And there's another one, too.
Naked Gun.
All of them.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
They're the fucking best.
It's incredible. I'm with you wholeheartedly. It's amazing. And I understand what Aaron's point is. And this is why I wanted them to win the belts, because I thought you should have recognized what was going on and say, the hell with our plans. This is the best thing we're doing right now. We need to make this front and center of everything that we do. That all being said,
I think we're going to get a triple threat at SummerSlam out of this.
It wouldn't shock me.
They'll just force their way in.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I could see that. I could absolutely see that. Like, look, you cannot ignore what's happening here. My God, it's amazing.
It's amazing. Right.
Make it work. Make it work. In agreement. Anything else that we got to touch on from SmackDown?
Mojo keeps begging for a match on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean...
Shouldn't he be the number one contender right now? He squashed the champ in 3 minutes.
I hear your argument. It's weird, man. I don't want to do this again.
The Andre the Giant Battle Royal means nothing. It doesn't mean shit.
Not that I'm speaking to anybody in particular right now. Not that I'm directing my complaint in anyone in particular.
Once again.
AJ, it doesn't mean a goddamn thing.
Once again, the fact that it is a match at WrestleMania, that means
that's
big.
That's great. Could you do something?
I don't.
Anything
I
with
don't
the guy that wins.
I don't disagree that you could do more with it.
Anything.
Put him on TV.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
When he was high-fiving kids backstage, he was doing more as the Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner than he's doing currently.
I, once again, am saying, once again, I wish they would do more with it just like you do.
Anything
however,
at all.
A match at WrestleMania
is
big.
It's fine. You won the match.
Mojo Rawley is undefeated at WrestleMania.
Does have that going
Fact.
For him. He's got that going for him.
Fact.
Jinder Mahal's the champion. He's on SmackDown as much as Killian Dane is right now.
Neither one of them was on SmackDown.
I know.
That's the point.
I know. It's the point.
I did like Nia also throwing shade at Raw when they announced the Money in the Bank. He's like, oh, look, a Money in the Bank match. Meanwhile, Raw can't even get all their women on TV.
Man, it's a different thing. That's a whole different area. They do have 3 hours. You'd like to think that at some point. All right, we'll grab a break. When we come back in, there's a new lead announcer on Ring of Honor, and he's 30, and I hate him. His name is, I mean, I don't really hate him, but, like, God damn it, I wouldn't mind having that job. His name's Ian Riccaboni, and he's going to join us next to talk about his new gig and how the hell that happens. Ben Nash is with us from the University of Maryland. He's hanging out today. I'm Glenn. He's Aaron, and he's
the main event.
AJ Francis. This is Jobbing Out.
Hey, KZ here, PressBox Fantasy and Reality Football Show with Sarita, the NFL chick. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Every Sunday, 10 to noon, we talk about mostly football.
Yes.
We talk about the college game. We talk about the NFL game. We will throw in sports, local sports, some Orioles, some Terps. If there's an important story around the country, we'll throw that in. But our heart, our soul, of course, is football.
Baltimore sports.
Baltimore sports.
In general.
Do a little bit D.C. We got to give them some love sometimes.
I guess.
Sundays, Sundays, 10 to noon, PressBox Fantasy Reality Football Show.
A new summer menu with two great new items at Chick-fil-A Nottingham Square. First up, the Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich. It's Chick-fil-A's signature grilled chicken and new bacon glazed in a brown sugar pepper blend. Served on a Hawaiian-style bun with Colby Jack cheese, green leaf lettuce, and a zesty Smokehouse Barbecue sauce that's crafted specifically for the sandwich. They also have the Watermelon Mint Lemonade. You can get it as a regular or a diet lemonade. It's got all natural watermelon and mint flavors, and it's complimentary to the Smokehouse Barbecue Sandwich. Get the Chick-fil-A Nottingham Square, 5198 Campbell Boulevard, in the Nottingham Square Shopping Center. Tell Steve Pavlovsky we said hello and get there before August 19th because these items are available for a limited time only.
Latest edition of PressBox is available now. On the cover, Rich Dubroff profiles Orioles first base coach Wayne Kirby, who is wildly popular among fans. Ravens beat writer Bo Smolka breaks down their roster, post NFL draft, and much more. PressBox is available for free at over 500 area locations, including 60 Royal Farm stores. You can also find the entire edition, as well as the best daily coverage of the Orioles, Ravens, and Terps at PressBoxOnline.com.
Hey, it's Nick Ashew.
It's Tim Murray.
And we're back now with PressBox Online every Tuesday, Game Time with Tim and Nick. So, similar name.
Very similar name, a lot of the same content. Well, we'll change that content up, you know. We'll stay with the times, obviously, but we're still going to yell at each other.
Oh, I'll push your buttons whenever we want.
You always do. We're like an old married couple.
Every Tuesday, subscribe to us on iTunes. We're on SoundCloud, PressBox Online, Game Time with Tim and Nick.
Find Game Time under the podcast tab at PressBoxOnline.com or on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Now through May 31st, Full Circle Tire and Auto is running a special to support the Joppatown Lions achieve their dreams of helping the community receive free eye exams for people ages 6 months and up. Full Circle Tire and Auto is giving away free brake pads with all brake repairs. Again, you only pay the labor and 10% of all repairs will be donated. A set of 4 new tires means $30 donated to the Joppatown Lions to help them achieve their dreams. That's at Full Circle Tire and Auto, 1304 Governor's Court, Unit 110 in Abingdon. You can give them a call, 410-676-CARS. That's 410-676-2277. Or find them on Facebook by searching Full Circle Tire and Auto. It's where I take my vehicle when I need repairs. Full Circle Tire and Auto, give them a call today.
You know, I've been waiting on this my whole life. Slim, you my homie. Let's make shit happen.
Back in here for segment number 3, it is Jobbing Out. Glenn Clark, Aaron Oster from the Baltimore Sun and Rolling Stone, and of course,
the main event,
AJ Francis of the Washington Redskins. Our next guest is the new lead announcer for Ring of Honor Wrestling, who, and by the way, Ring of Honor, basically Baltimore is home. That's just the way that it is. He is Ian Riccoboni, and he joins us now here on Jobbing Out. Ian, it's so good to talk to you, man. I need to start this by saying, you're 30 years old, and you are the lead announcer for a major professional wrestling company. One, I hate you. Two, how does that happen?
It's kind of crazy. Early on in kind of my broadcasting life, I got advice. I bumped into Colin Jost, and let me pick that name up off the ground where I dropped it. So I met Colin Jost from SNL, and he had said, always say yes to everything. It never hurts to try something. So, you know, I went to school for broadcasting. I'd always dreamt of being a pro wrestling announcer. It was just something I always kept in my back pocket. I had a buddy that started a public access show. I said yes, I did that. And then from there, we did a Phillies baseball vlog, which turned into a public access show, which turned into a cable television show. From there, I met the Blue Meanie and Danny Cage at the Monster Factory. Kevin Kelly came in for a seminar, and he took me under his wing for quite a while, about 2.5 years. And all of a sudden, you know, kind of right place, right time. But, you know, obviously you try and work hard and you try and get prepared. But that's kind of the short story behind it. But it felt a lot longer in real time. But every once in a while I have to pinch myself and kind of realize what kind of opportunity I got and how quickly I got it.
I just want to recap something real quick from that meeting with Colin Jost. He went on to hook up with Scarlett Johansson, you went on to become the voice of Ring of Honor. I think it's clear who won.
I mean, it's pretty close, yeah. I'd have to say. Think, you know, it's, I think it's 50-50. Hey, it's evenly fought battle there.
Now, I remember I had a chance to talk to you briefly, and you weren't originally looking into play-by-play, right? You were looking as more as like a Mean Gene type, weren't you?
Absolutely. So, you know, growing up, the guys that I liked the most were Mean Gene Okerlund, were Killer Ken Resnick, you know, guys that would kind of mix it up more so with the wrestlers. And so when I was brought on board, there was two purposes for me. I was brought on board as the Future of Honor commentator, which is a project they hoped to start. And then, you know, they did two events, and now we do Future of Honor Fridays. And then also to do any kind of backstage interviewing and backstage commentary and things like that. So, yeah, I was really interested. I'd always thought Mean Gene was fascinating. I think he's probably one of the best non-pro wrestlers there ever was for his ability to make all kinds of things happen, including sell tickets. And so, you know, Mean Gene being a primary inspiration, I was kind of brought on board to do a little bit more of that because we did have we had a world-class broadcasting team. We had Kevin, Nigel, and Steve, and that doesn't even include guys like Prince Nana and a few other guys that would come in from time to time to join the broadcast team.
You know what's funny is we used to, me and Aaron Englund, we used to, when I was in college at the University of Maryland, we used to go watch the tapings for Ring of Honor at Du Burns Arena in Baltimore. And back then you had, you know, Rhino was on the show and Matt Hardy was on the show. And at the time it was like, wow, it's cool to see those guys back, you know, in the area performing. But now both of them have gone back to WWE. Do you see Ring of Honor as not just a place for younger talent to come and groom themselves and then either stay for a long time or end up going somewhere else or going to WWE? Or do you see it as it's a ground where everybody can come in, put on their best match, put on their best show, no matter the age, and end up going out there and putting forth an opportunity to be in what you probably see as the best indie organization in the world?
Yeah, it's kind of incredible. You know, the way I look at it, it's mutually beneficial. You know, we've had a lot of kind of worldwide names and stars come through recently, whether it's the Hardys, whether it is a guy like Cody, who's going to be in the main event, yep, best in the world, or Bully Ray, who's been a main event singles and tag team wrestler wherever he goes. So we've had a lot of, you know, internationally known stars come in, and that, you know, that also includes the New Japan stars as well. But we've also had guys kind of built from the ground up that you're, yep, seeing come in with a little bit of a name or maybe even no name at all and really tear things up. You know, Adam Cole had started in PWG and CZW. It wasn't really until he got to Ring of Honor that he kind of exploded onto the scene. Yeah. You see that with guys like Marty Scurll, who's doing amazing things, been doing amazing things in England. All of a sudden he comes across the pond, becomes the TV champ, and it seems like the sky's the limit for him,
yeah,
especially with Best of the Super Juniors. So I see it as kind of a mutually beneficial proposition for both veteran stars and for young stars to come over, because we're seeing in, you know, I believe over 100 affiliates, ROHWrestling.com, the Fight TV app has been a big win for us as well in terms of allowing folks to watch us and having a set time to be able to watch us. So the exposure's there, you know, the momentum's there. We've been featured, yeah, you know, in ESPN and Rolling Stone and Sporting News all over the place. So it's, I think, you know, if I was somebody like Bully Ray or Cody, you know, why wouldn't I come to Ring of Honor? You know, it's always had this allure of being the best wrestling in the world, and, yeah, I think that's still true. Where what I think is interesting, though, I compare it a lot to there was a group of new wave artists in the 70s and early 80s that kind of started out, and they were a little bit off the beaten path, and they kind of had their core fans, and then all of a sudden they kind of tweaked the formula just enough to remain true to their identity and true to their roots and gain a big kind of international following. So I kind of see that that's where Ring of Honor is and maybe where it's going, like Elvis Costello or, you know, the Talking Heads or REM, you know, in groups in that, you know, that new wave group from about 77 to 82 or 83, even, you know, someone like Blondie, who, you know, for all intents and purposes was a punk rock group until they started to hit it big and, you know, they had Heart of Glass and they had the first rap hit ever, Rapture. So it's kind of an interesting spot we're in. For a while, it kind of felt like we were too big to be small and too small to be big, but we have amazing support from Sinclair Broadcasting, and we've been getting a lot and lot of support, whether that is bringing in stars that want to come here or going out and finding some of the top young international talent.
Do you think the current state of the indies, where pretty much there's not really any more exclusive contracts, do you think that is beneficial, or do you miss the old days when you knew when you came to Ring of Honor you were going to see the Briscoes and they weren't going to be on TV anywhere else and they weren't going to be doing anything anywhere else? And do you think that it was better then, or do you like how it is now?
I think there's pros and cons. I think, you know, Ring of Honor has become an attraction and a destination for some of these folks. And I think there is an allure to Ring of Honor. You know, it's the only place you can see the Young Bucks. It's the only place you can see Hangman Page, the Briscoes, you know, the Addiction, the world champion Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian. On the other hand, there's always that cool, interesting element where you'll see guys really take advantage of the landscape in a positive way that creates an opening and a living for them.
Yeah.
It's always better when, you know, there's more than one company and more than one destination to go to. You know, I always hope that Ring of Honor gets the best stars, but it's happened, you know, where, you know, you can use Marty Scurll as an example. TNA was the first group to give him a shot in the United States of major prominence. He ends up in Ring of Honor a few years later. Stories like that have gone on for the last couple of years, so it gives a chance for guys to create value and to really establish themselves as stars and as commodities. So it's interesting. Now, I think the big thing is, you know, finding the right point to pull the trigger and to really create stars and, you know, finding that next maybe diamond in the rough as well, you know, maybe someone that doesn't jump off the radar. So I kind of like the way it is now, where you're guaranteed to see, you know, maybe, you know, 12 to 15 guys, and then, you know, you get an influx, you know, when you're in the Chicago area, you might see some of the best local Chicago guys have, you know, the opening match, or, you know, when you're in Philadelphia, you might see some of the stars of the Monster Factory. So it's kind of cool right now, or Maryland, where you might see some MCW folks. So, I mean, that's where guys like Leo Rush came from. The Monster Factory produced Coast to Coast, LSG, Shaheem Ali. And so I kind of like where we're at now, because you kind of find stars that you might not have, you know, had everybody been under contract.
It's another follow-up question to this. It's the last one I have about of this realm. It just fascinates me because I play football, and when a guy leaves our team and goes to another team, like, even though it's competition and we're going to play him, like, I'm happy for the guy, and I'm glad that he's making money and whatever he has to do, you know what I'm saying? But I always wondered, when you see a guy like a Tommaso Ciampa, or you see someone like Seth Rollins before that, or you see anyone from the Ring of Honor that goes on and goes to WWE, because they are, you know, competition, do you see that as, well, I'm happy for the guy, or is it more of like, well, shit, how are we going to replace this guy?
You know, I think the second half is the immediate feeling, because they are such great talents. And if you look at Tommaso, or, you know, if you look further back, you know, my first show was the first show after Kevin Steen wrestled his last match with Ring of Honor. So, you know, it definitely, the feeling back, you know, in the back was, okay, you know, what do we do now? And, you know, thankfully we have folks that are the decision makers that keep cool heads. because there's always a lot of movement in wrestling. But ultimately, you root for them, and, you know, because in some ways, it validates what you're doing.
Yep.
And it validates the model, and it validates the plan. And it gets more eyes on, you know, it gets more eyes on the product, because inevitably they're asked, hey, where did you come from? Where did you start? And if, you know, the largest organization in the world continues to, you know, to bring in talent from your organization, it's a sign that things are going well, and that, you know, there's good exposure, and that you're finding the right guys and gals to have on your product if they're good enough for the largest company.
Yeah, we've always joked on this show multiple times that Ring of Honor was NXT before NXT.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, if you look at the name.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Ian Riccoboni is with us here on the AJ Francis Show. It is. No, he's chopping out.
Yeah.
By the way, when you said, where did you come from, it took everything in me to not continue to sing the lyrics to Cotton Eye Joe. So I think I deserve a little bit of credit for that. Ian, has there been a moment yet for you in your role now where something happened and you didn't know that it was going to happen? Have you experienced that yet now as lead announcer?
Yeah, so a couple of things. The big one was T.K. Orion breaking his leg.
Obviously, nobody knew that was going to happen, right?
If T.K. knew, he's a sick fuck. He's a sick fuck if he knew.
He's an animal. He's something else. He even wiggled it for the camera. He broke his leg in two places. He was in incredible pain, but he had enough sense of mind to make sure the camera got a
like,
shot at his leg.
This is great
kind
TV.
Of incredible. But there was that. There was Adam Page eating Frankie Kazarian's loogie at War of the Worlds, which is also, so this all happened on pay-per-view. And then the other two, probably the two biggest, were the surprise debuts of Matt and Jeff Hardy, and then the surprise debut of Bully Ray.
Yeah.
And those, I got a whisper in my headset, essentially used the following name, and, you know, the lights went out, I got the whisper, lights went on, and sure enough, there they were. So, you know,
that's crazy.
It was, because those were something that those three folks coming in were something that only a handful of folks knew. Thankfully, I was very prepared to call the Hardys and the Young Bucks at Supercard of Honor. I knew their signature stuff. And thankfully, Bully Ray just decided to put Adam Cole through a table and make it easy for me.
That's not hard to call that, right? Yeah.
Following up on that, in addition to what you maybe didn't know, you've gotten to call some great matches from some really, really cool venues. Is there one big thing that that really sticks out to you as your favorite moment so far?
Oh, geez. You know, when I joined with Ring of Honor, I'd always hoped to call stuff at the 2300 Arena, the former ECW Arena, and I've been thankful. I've been able to call at least a match there each time we've been there since 2015. The one venue that surprised me just how cool and how fun and how interactive it was actually Turner Hall in Milwaukee. It was the coolest venue I've ever been in. It's like an old beer hall. It's crazy. It's fun. The fans, I mean, the fans were three sheets to the wind, I think, about the first match in or second match in. And so they were having a good time. Silas Young was the host and the ring announcer of the event, the hometown hero. So it was just a really, really good time in Milwaukee. And everybody had told me that was the best venue to go to. And I was like, Milwaukee? I'd never been to Milwaukee, so... I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, you know, Milwaukee. And sure enough, we get there, and Colt and I had the time of our lives there. It was a blast.
You know, Sinclair Broadcast, you had brought them up earlier. They just made a big acquisition. They bought Tribune Media, and it looks like they're going to really expand what's going on. And some people have questioned what that might mean for Ring of Honor, especially for you as the voice of Ring of Honor. What would that mean to you, especially if they get you back in that primetime slot?
Well, you know, we had a set time slot on Destination America for a little bit of 2015, a 6-month trial run, and it was great because we had a kind of a set date and a time for fans that they knew they could tune in. And you know, our Sinclair affiliates are amazing because they treat us so well in terms of advertising, in terms of support, in terms of, you know, showing up at the building when we're in a Sinclair town. So, you know, obviously I don't want to say anything negative against them, but there's always something pretty neat about pay-per-view nights and about nights when we have, you know, iPay-per-views like Supercard of Honor, because it really becomes an event that people talk about on social media and kind of a conversation that people get excited for. So for me, you know, having a set day on a major cable channel, you know, hopefully it could be the next step, you know, so that people, so that's appointment television, so that people know exactly when and how they can view Ring of Honor. Now, Tribune Media, from what I understand, owns a cable channel, WGN America, and I don't know for sure what T's have been crossed and I's have been dotted, but I'll say this, you know, if right now I believe we're on every or almost every Sinclair affiliate, it would be really cool if the acquisition is finalized or if it goes through, if we were able to bring Ring of Honor to more folks. And, you know, if perhaps somewhere down the line, maybe having that unified time slot to make it, you know, more of appointment television, you know, keep it on Sinclair Broadcast Affiliates. You know, it's really neat that we're the only over-the-air wrestling product you can get. You know, we're across America. So that's really neat, and that's something that we hang our hat on, that we're proud on. You don't need to buy cable. You can just get an antenna. But it would be kind of, it would be neat to have kind of a, you know, just a time slot where people know, hey, you can watch Ring of Honor right now. And if you go on Twitter right now, you can talk about it. And if you go on Facebook right now, you can talk about it. And I think that would help us kind of get to a next level. So obviously, you know, I've read a little bit about the acquisition, but I'm in no place to really talk, you know, details about it. But, if the reports are true and if what I'm reading is true, it's an exciting time. And I'd be thrilled if we're able to bring Ring of Honor to more people.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot here. ROH, final battle. They give you the keys to the kingdom. What are you putting in the main event?
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Geez, there's so many options to choose from. And either one of the guys that are in the Best in the World main event, Christopher Daniels, American Nightmare Cody, I think that'd be, you know, either one of those guys could do it. I think, you know, Dalton Castle's a guy that I'd put in there as well. You can't discount either of the Briscoes. Jay's been there before. Oh man, I really like Jay White. I think Jay White could be a Ring of Honor World Champion. I think he could be IWGP Champion. I think he's got all the tools in the world. Will it be this year? I don't know. Will they, you know? He's a guy that I think could put it together quick. And as we saw at War of the Worlds and his match against Will Ospreay, I think he's already put it together, you know, quite well. But man, what about a guy like Silas Young? You know, I could see Silas Young or Jay Lethal. Oh man, if I had
you basically
know,
said the. I just want to point this out. You named the entire.
So you want a whole battle royal the title? Like that's where we're going. This is hey, you asked him to book it. He wants everyone in the match. He can have everyone in the match.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, we'll get everybody on the
say,
poster.
I
right?
did
get
say,
get everybody
please
in the,
see the
and get everybody on the poster. And no, I think you know the final battle. It's been such a historic event. The main event almost always has to be decided, you know, one-on-one for the world championship. I think final battle over its history, that's been the most common way to do things. It's the flagship show. I would love to see a guy like Dalton Castle challenge for the world championship there. I'd love to see if Cody's not the champion for him to get another opportunity there. You know, what about Jay Briscoe? You know, him versus Dalton Castle, him versus Cody. The list could go on and on, and then Marty Scurll too. You know,
I doing it again. We're doing it again.
So
why not bring everyone from New Japan too?
Your favorite kid, you know. It's like. So.
All right, Ian. Before we let you go, last one for you. To the closest 100, the number of pounds of streamer pieces that you have pulled off your jacket during the course of your career.
I would say, oh man.
Yeah.
I'd say probably. Probably 400.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about
yeah,
right.
I usually get hit in the shoulder once an event. Like, someone's usually aiming, they go real low. Yes. They see in the shoulder instead.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm a fidgeter when I'm calling matches. So if you ever look at the table, you'll see tons and tons of streamers just broken up into thousands of tiny pieces. And I think it grossed Kevin Kelly out, but.
Oh man. All right. He's Ian Riccaboni. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at Ian Riccaboni, RICCABONI. Of course, Ring of Honor. Unbelievable that they spend so much time away from Baltimore. I can't fathom that at all, but, go to ROHWrestling.com and they're going to be back before too long anyway, because Ring of Honor is never away from Baltimore before too long. Hey, Ian, a pleasure, man. Really enjoyed the conversation. Would love to do it again down the road. Thank you for taking the time for us this week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, very good. Appreciate Ian hopping on with us. And I still hate him. I mean, it's just the way it's going to go.
Absolutely.
He's 30, and he's got the job that I would like to have, so he can go F himself. But
How old are you, Glenn?
30. I'm going to be 34 in September.
How old are you, Eric?
30.
How old have you been?
30.
You guys are old as fuck.
Oh, shut up, dick.
27.
God damn it.
The worst.
On my way to heaven.
You were the worst on your birthday, and you kept saying, I'm old. You're
right? Like, what an asshole. What a dick.
I'm old. I am
Jesus
old.
Christ.
You guys are old as fuck.
Well, that's true. You're not wrong about that. All right. So, boys, while we were talking to Ian, I wandered onto Twitter, and I noticed that we're all idiots. All of us.
That's nothing new.
Because we probably should have seen this coming. John Cena has announced when he's returning to SmackDown. Remember, he was going to be gone for a little while. He's announced when he's returning to SmackDown. I just wild guess when John Cena might be returning to SmackDown. Ben, I'll let you start. Wild guess. Just put out a date. Any date at all. Any date at all when John Cena might be returning.
Considering that we're going to have Kevin Owens as the face of America and United States champion, and probably Jinder Mahal as the Indian conqueror of America.
I actually think that Randy Orton's winning the belt back, but still, yeah, it's possible.
I'm just going to say before SummerSlam, of course.
Well, yes, before SummerSlam.
Don't forget when he returned last year.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. AJ, would you like to swing a guess at maybe a more specific date before SummerSlam that we might get John Cena, again, John Cena,
okay,
back?
Well, there's four letters in John.
Mm-hmm.
And there's four letters in Cena.
No, that is true, too.
Illuminati stuff right here.
Illuminati.
Science.
So I'm thinking that WWE's version of Captain America,
ooh,
with four letters in his first name and four letters in his last name, is going to be coming back on July 4th.
Bittersweet day today as I begin another Night in Atlanta. Such a funny movie, but SmackDown Live, WWE is so close. 7/4 can't get here fast enough. That from the Twitter account of one John Cena, who announces
John Archibald Cena.
Of course, what we should have known all along, that he is returning on the 4th of July. Now, obviously, I didn't realize that was a Tuesday. If I had realized that, well, then
I was
you're goddamn
I was
right.
Kind of shocked he didn't come back just on Monday because it was Memorial Day because he is Captain America.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You realize he's going to win both belts on the 4th of July, both the U.S. and the...
he'll win them. Like, he's going to defeat both
he's going to
Kevin Owens
both.
And Jinder Mahal
he's going
on
to
the 4th
save
of July?
America from all
in a handicap match.
And there's no doubt that he's... The only question is, and it is a real question because I think that AJ's point is well taken, which is that, of course, what they want to have him do is face the face of America and be the American hero. But also, we've made Jinder Mahal an enemy of the state because he's got different color skin than the typical wrestling fan.
And he speaks Punjab.
Right, and he speaks Punjab, despite the fact that he's Canadian. But if he's still the champion at that point, when is the SmackDown, Money in the Bank?
Money in the Bank is
June 18th.
There's Battleground at the end of July.
That's another SmackDown
pay-per-view.
But John Cena's... So it's one or the other. Either they keep Jinder the champion and have John Cena be save America from this evil, dark-skinned monster.
What's crazy is that...
Who's clearly a monster because he doesn't have the same... His skin's dark. I mean, that's... If you're...
What's crazy to me is the fact that they really think that John Cena is going to get cheers because he goes against Jinder.
Against Jinder, he would.
No, he won't.
Yeah, he will.
Randy Orton didn't get cheers by Smarks.
Against
gender. Randy Orton still got cheers.
There was a split crowd. There was a Randy sucks.
I'm aware.
Or let's go gender or whatever it was.
Oh, you think they expect him to be big over the top face?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You're right. Well, John Cena will never be that, and like he's just never going to be that.
They expect that from Roman Reigns too.
Right.
So.
I mean, it's not going to happen. But it would be better than if he faces Kevin Owens right now. They would unwittingly turn Kevin Owens' face. People are still booing Jinder Mahal. They would stop doing that if John Cena faced Kevin Owens. If it was John Cena, Kevin Owens, the crowd would be on the side of Kevin Owens.
In Philadelphia?
Oh my God. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be a slaughter. You know? Like, it'd be just awful.
It wouldn't be a sellout though, cause you know.
Right, Jinder Mahal doesn't put any asses in seats, as we've learned.
Jinder Mahal's ruined the business.
That's
so.
Factual.
But the question is one or the other, cause I've been working along the opinion that Randy Orton's getting the belt back, cause I don't believe they're gonna let Jinder Mahal go to SummerSlam as the champion, but if they have John Cena come back and save America, then Jinder Mahal.
And all of a sudden you get your big marquee matchup for SummerSlam. You have John Cena versus maybe, you know, if that's the way you go, John Cena versus maybe Owens drops it to AJ, or maybe AJ faces Cena. You get one of those big matches at SummerSlam.
Which I'm fine with either one of those two. I mean, there's no problem with that.
We were kidding about, like, you know, the handicap match for, you know, all the titles. But can you imagine a triple threat between Jinder, KO and Cena, the promos leading up to that?
That would be great.
That would be fun.
It would be great. I have no beef with that at all.
They can make that work, too.
Oh, absolutely they can make that work. John Cena's here to save America.
Could you imagine? It would be ridiculous.
Maybe, what if they just stopped pretending? What if they just made Jinder so he was Canadian, not Punjabi?
bring,
what if one week he just showed up? He's like, guys, I'm totally not like Punjabi.
Bring back the un-Americans. Yeah. Have Lance Storm and Christian and all
those
guys.
What if they
just
went that route? Look, we should be ashamed of ourselves for not figuring out this is what they were going to do with John. This is our fault for not determining the John.
I was here thinking that we were going to get AJ Styles versus Randy Orton, or AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam for the title. Completely forgot John Cena.
Yeah, John Cena.
What a dope you are.
John Cena in
what
the company.
Dope. Yeah, guys, is John Cena? No. That's the way that's going to go. It is interesting, though, which way they're going of the two things. I do think that either of those two things works.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that either one of those two, and when I say works, I'm using that loosely.
Works in WWE land.
Exactly right. Works for them.
I'm waiting for Shinsuke Nakamura to be the new face of America.
Yeah.
Because that would make just as much sense.
That would
sense.
Be really wonderful, actually, if they did that. I would be super happy.
It's funny, like, I would actually prefer John Cena being the WWE title match versus Jinder. Or at Battleground. Because then that would mean you could clear the way for Shinsuke versus Kevin Owens.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
At SummerSlam?
SummerSlam.
Okay. So you want... Well, why couldn't you have Cena versus Owens have Cena win the U.S. title and then face Nakamura at SummerSlam?
I mean, you could do that too, but I think...
Or Owens. I mean, sorry, have Owens face Nakamura.
Yeah.
I guess he would... It's too... Yeah, all right. Yeah. You're right. It would have to work that way.
Yep.
Do we all agree that they're not letting Jinder take the belt to SummerSlam?
I think he loses it at Battleground.
Yeah.
That would be my bet, too.
I don't think he loses that Money in the Bank, but I think
because
he
does. All of us picked against him to begin with.
Right.
True.
So maybe we don't what we're talking about. Ben, you didn't pick against him. You weren't here.
That's right.
If you told me he got DQ'd at Battleground, maybe.
Okay.
If you did like a triple threat
match. Who did
you
think was going to win the match, Ben?
Not Jinder.
Right.
I would have lost.
So, again.
Only Steve Miggs was stupid enough to pick Jinder.
He picked it last second, too. He's like, you know what?
As it turns out,
I know.
We're all idiots. They're definitely having Jinder Mahal go to SummerSlam as the champion. It's definitely working out that way. Is there anything else we need to cover before we get out of here for the week?
Not really.
All right. Very good. Let's wind down. Ben, I'm going to ask again. Can we plug anything for you?
Just Twitter.
Other than your ass.
That is the weirdest thing you say.
Wow.
It is the strangest. I don't know when that started becoming a bit for you.
To me, it's funny.
You make fun of some of the bits that I do.
Yeah.
That's not a bad bit. It's a weird bit. That's a super.
It's just funny to me.
You just offering to shove something up the man's ass.
All right,
have you ever
seen a butt plug?
Yes.
Okay. They look weird. And,
I agree. And that's why I don't understand.
And they look hilarious, though. Would you really sit there and contemplate the fact that someone shoves that in their ass? It's funny to me. I'm sorry. I don't know how to explain it. Anything else?
It's kind of
really weird.
Why don't we just bail? Thanks, everybody.
Ding.
Ben, what's your Twitter?
It's just Benjamin_Nash. Real simple.
You are the best. You are always welcome here.
For sure. Well, I bumped Vernon Davis off the show for you, so.
Thanks, Jesus Christ, dude.
Man, I'll always have that.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that fight.
AJ, let's get the plugs in both Francis Sports Academy and for Frank.
Yeah, you know my dad, he's starting up basketball training. You can go on our Francis_Sports Instagram or Francis_Sports Twitter to find out when and where and everything's going to be. You can also, you know, I got two singles dropping on June 16th.
OTA on the way.
OTA is on the way. I got two singles dropping on June 16th. I will be on the Bram Weinstein Show with Aaron Oster's company, ESPN 980.
You know, we're recording the show here.
Yeah.
Like, we can give him some love.
I know. Yeah. Aaron Oster, I was saying, I realized
that. But you're giving it to Aaron Oster.
Because, no, I said ESPN 980.
The guy who writes your paychecks also owns this radio station.
This is factual.
He doesn't pay me to be here, so I don't got to.
Fair enough.
I don't got to give them any pub for that. All right. No, but I'm going to be pubbing in there. I'm going to be all over the place, man. I've already booked a show in South Carolina.
But are you like debuting something on the Bram Weinstein Show?
No, maybe.
I don't know if you know this. You have a show.
Yeah.
Like you could debut it on your show.
I'm probably going to do that.
Okay,
as well.
I was just gonna make sure. I don't know why we're just giving this one to Bram.
No, I was just saying.
When you have your own show that you can debut.
No, because that's gonna be the last episode I'm in town before I go to Orlando to the Jewish Community Center.
Love the Jewish Community Center.
So,
does NovaPro really do that?
Yes.
We have to get there.
We will.
Did you know that NovaPro does their shows at the Northern Virginia Jewish Community Center?
That is amazing.
It's incredible.
Yes.
All right. So people can find out more, obviously, by going to.
Yeah, they can go to Francis_Sports. I have the same Instagram for my music as I do for training. On Instagram, you can go to AJFrancis410. On Twitter, and you can go to YouTube.com/user/AJFrancis96. I have a music video for European up there. I got some other songs up there too. It's a good vibe.
I saw like random websites just picking up.
I'm telling you, man.
What's the one with the four? What's the song called?
Oh, 44 bars.
Yeah.
So it's a song.
It's a cool concept.
It's 44 bars. Anybody who is from Maryland or listens to hip hop, Logic, who had the number one album in America two weeks ago. His album Everybody. Me and him have been friends for a very long time. True story, he used to perform before me at Juke Joints at the University of Maryland because, you know, the people came to see me and my crew, not to see Logic. And that is a true story. And he will verify.
I don't know
this.
If I'm comfortable just throwing that out.
That is
like
the
that.
Truth. It's the truth because we were a big deal on campus. It was all athletes. And we made music and whatnot. And but he has a song called 44 Bars, where he literally just, if you don't know music terms, a bar is one line in a song. And he spits for 44 bars. I use the same beat, and I came up with the concept of maybe I could say the word four 40 times in the song and call it 44 bars. And I did, and it's awesome, and you can check
it
out.
It's actually it's a cool concept.
And
it's a cool.
You can check it out on my SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Frank410.
All right. Aaron, you're on Twitter.
At the AOster.
The show's on Twitter.
Jobbing Out Show.
The email address.
Jobbingoutshow@gmail.com.
And do you have anything coming up at the Baltimore Sun or Rolling Stone?
I do actually have something for the Baltimore Sun. One Miss Alexa Bliss.
Sick.
I will be talking
did
to
you
her.
Ask her about Trent Murphy?
I haven't talked to her yet, but I'm.
You had to ask her about Trent Murphy.
That's her future husband.
I know. I'll see what I can do.
What do you Aaron,
mean? It's literally we had Trent Murphy on our wrestling podcast. He said that he would love to take you out on a date.
Professional football player extraordinaire, ass kicking pass rusher
with giant hands,
with the biggest hands I've ever seen on the face of the planet, who nearly ripped an actual hole in AJ Francis' chest.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy. That guy. Yes. I think she'd want to meet him.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
Let's get on.
I'll set that up.
So that's coming at the Baltimore Sun.
That's coming up.
BaltimoreSun.com.
Correct.
Where you can find that. All right. Very good. I'm on Twitter at Glenn Clark Radio. The website is GlennClarkRadio.com. Thanks again to Ian Riccaboni and to Ben Nash for those good boys, for myself, for Aaron, I did that the wrong way. For those boys, for Aaron Oster, for...
The main event. Vent.
AJ Francis, the Washington Redskins. I'm Glenn Clark. This is Ben jobbing out. I just don't hear myself or you. It's fine. I can live. Are you
that's
doing
the best way to hear jobbing
doing,
out.
Are you doing your Shinsuke?
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing there?
That's the best way to hear jobbing out.
Hear
without
me or Aaron. Yeah. What a dick. I get it, because it would just be you. Oh, because it was, we wouldn't be there. Yeah. And it would only be you. Ah, you're a kidder.
Jumping out.